I just want to start by saying I'm speaking to myself this morning like I normally do, more than probably anybody else. But if you're any way like me, which some of you may not be, but the past 6 months to a year, we've been bombarded with a lot about an election that's coming up in a couple weeks. And it's been weighing heavy on my mind, and also looking at the direction of our country and the way that it's going. And that's been concerning me, and I've probably watched a little too much news programs, Fox News, maybe read too much emails and things on the internet, and got my mind, and sometimes you can think so much or read so much about something that it can get you physically and mentally almost sick just thinking about the direction that we're going. So today, what I'm trying to help myself, and hopefully any of y'all that have had that same or similar thing happen in your life, that's what my goal is today, is to try to help us with that and look to a kingdom. And our brother Johnny shared this morning a couple of things that I've been thinking about, looking to a kingdom that is not going to pass away, a kingdom that's going to stand forever and have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rule and reign with us. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is going to be our main passage. If you'll turn to that, then there'll be several passages off of that, but it's a little verse here and in this passage that I guess I had overlooked, but for some reason it was like this time when I read it, it was just like I had a flashing light that this was what I needed. Luke 12:22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" I thought about this. Jacob, if any of y'all can tell, he's hit his growth spurt, and he's wearing some of my clothes and shoes, and so maybe he was a little bit worried that it wasn't going to come, but he couldn't do anything about it. The Lord gave him that growth spurt. "If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind." And that's the part at the end. "Nor have an anxious mind." I've confessed to God and confess to y'all that I've had kind of an anxious mind lately with all that's going on. "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." And this next verse, I guess I've right there, "but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Maybe I've stopped before right there, but it's the next verse that I want to focus on this morning. Luke 12:32. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Recently, I've been thinking about maybe that I love our country, I love the United States, I'm patriotic, and want what's best for our country, as I believe that all of us do here. And we're concerned because we see it going away from the way it used to be. We see it going away from God's Word, and that concerns us. And we are instructed to pray for our country and to pray for forgiveness, and we can have a revival. Honestly, sometimes I've been thinking lately that maybe from the way, as far as it's gone, that maybe it's time for judgment. And I don't know that, but just me as a human being looking at things that are going on, that's what's been going through my mind. So I've been trying to focus right here about do not fear, little flock. And he's talking to his disciples here, we know that, but I just tried to put myself and this little flock here, this in Reedsville Bible Chapel. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. He's wanting to do it to give you the kingdom. So we're in maybe some turmoil right now about things, the way things are going, but we've got a hope of a kingdom that's going to last forever, and our Father's going to give it to us. So I want to just break these little phrases up and just go and look through them and go a little bit deeper with each one. The first phrase, do not fear. Do not fear. You may not be able to turn to all these. There's several different passages I'm going to, so you can decide about that. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So from these verses here, do not fear. God is teaching us here through his servant Paul, be anxious for nothing. We should not, I shouldn't be squirming or wringing my hands thinking about what in the world is happening. That God's in control, that I should not be anxious. That shows a lack of faith in my part that God's in control. He's going to take care of us. So instead of being anxious, here's what I need to start doing. In everything, our country, the election, prayer and supplication. Be praying for the election that God's will be done. Be praying for our country for revival. Be thankful for what God has given me. Don't think about all the things that are going wrong with our country, but be thankful for what God's done for us. We can still come this morning. We can worship our Lord and Savior. Be thankful that my mom's doing better. Be thankful that my family has food and shelter. There's so many things that we could go on to be thankful. A lot of times if you're so thankful, count your blessings, then the worries and the anxiousness will go away from you. But sometimes our minds gets on the bad things and it takes the thankfulness away, and something that I'm struggling with recently. Let your request be made known to God, the one that can do something about it. And he will, if you do that, he will give you peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding. He will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So in the turmoil that we're in, if we will take time to pray, ask God to help us, turn it over to him, be thankful with a thankful heart, he will give us the peace of God. And this next one, if you've watched any of the debates or listened, I did not hear a lot of these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So instead of getting focused on the things that maybe people are saying, going against each other and things that are, we know that are against God's word, and it's being promoted, that we need to focus on things that are pure, things that are noble, things that that we know that God would be pleased with. Not get ourselves worked up in anxiety, but think about things that are pure, things that are lovely. God will help me with that. Next, Isaiah 41:8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This verse 41:10, it gives a lot of encouragement to you, encouragement to me, to fear not that God's with me. During this stuff that's going on, and I can see it, I am getting older, so I thought about when I took over 27 years ago for a guy that was an older teacher and was having a tough time. I was thinking, well, I'll never get like that. thinking that the kids have lost their mind. But now, 27 years later, I confess that I'm saying the same thing. These kids have lost their mind. So it does happen, but I'm trying to fear not, be not dismayed, rely on the Lord to strengthen me. And He has helped me with a lot of prayers that I've had from different ones. And He's upholded me with His righteous right hand. So I'm thankful for Him that He's helped me, even though I get my mind out of frame sometimes about the way things are going. Luke chapter 10, verse 40-42. And this is talking to me, talking to all of us, I think. Sometimes we get distracted with things. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So I can hear Him saying, instead of Martha, Martha, Todd, Todd, you are worried and troubled about many things. There's a lot of stuff going on that you're worried about, things in the country, things about the election, things at your work. Don't stay so focused on those things. Focus on the one thing that is needed. Mary had chosen that good part. Choose that good part of being at the Savior's feet in daily communion with Him. And He can give you that peace that passes all understanding. So choose that good part. We have the choice. We can get caught up in the world, the way things are going. We can spend a lot of time reading and watching television and get our minds with that. But I don't believe that that's the good part that's talked about here. We need to focus and spend time with the Lord. 1 Samuel 36, and these are just a few verses that I think that people were going through the same thing that maybe some of us are going through, and this is how God helped them. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He was greatly distressed, downtrodden, mind on a lot of things. The people were upset, but he had a heart after God, so he knew where to turn for help. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself and stopped. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's the only place we can get everlasting strength and peace is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and His Father. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart. He's asking us to pour our heart out to Him. He knows that we're frail and that we're going to have these thoughts and these concerns, and He wants us to come to Him, pour out our heart before Him. God is a refuge. He's our strength. And then Luke 18, verse 1, if you want to turn to this one, it's a little bit longer. Luke 18, 1. We know that we have someone that we can count on, that we can turn to when we're having fear, when we're having problems, our minds are focused on things. We know that we have someone to help us. Luke 18, 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. Help us not to lose heart. Saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge has said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth? That last question is kind of spoke to me. Just looking at the things that are going on, will he really find faith when he comes? Will he really find faith? But for the principle for today, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1, the thing that I wanted to focus on, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Help us not to lose heart in our situation that we're in. Don't get bogged down. Don't get focused on the things going around in the world. Remember that we have a heavenly kingdom to look forward to. Not this world is not our home. Then it says in the end, shall God not avenge? We know this judge, this unjust judge, didn't regard man or God. And he answered the widow because the widow kept asking and kept asking. How much more so our Heavenly Father will answer if we ask Him. He loves us. He's not like that unrighteous judge. He's a awesome Father that loves us, and He will help us. Okay, back to our verse. Luke 12:32, do not fear. So we hear several examples for us not to fear, but to turn to God in our fear, in our worry. Turn to God and trust in Him. Ask Him and He will help you when we're going through things like this. The next section I wanted to look at, or the next phrase, is little flock. Little flock. I thought about all of us have probably had a little puppy or a little kitten sometime. And I've had two little babies. And when they're little and small, for some reason, we're afraid they're going to break or whatever, we take really good care. We say, make sure you don't drop him. Hold his head. Hold his neck. Hold her tightly. Make sure she doesn't fall. Care for him. So when it's something that's little, we seem to take a little bit more care of it. And then the idea of the flock, that we, I was thinking about the sheep, of course, and the shepherd, and how we here at Reedsville Bible Chapel are a little flock of believers. And this promise, it's our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That this little flock here, that we can look past our circumstances and look forward to the kingdom. Isaiah 40:11, thinking about the little flock and thinking about the great shepherd. We're the little ones, the needy ones, and we have an awesome shepherd. Isaiah 40:11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young, who are with young. Just think about him picking up a small baby sheep and just holding it. And that's the way he cares for us. He looks after us and cares for us. Holds us in his bosom and gently leads us. Matthew 18:12-14 says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven. Even so, is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? It's just a picture. You have the 99 that are there. The one that is left, he goes and finds that one. What a Father we have. Even sometimes we maybe go astray. He loves us and goes and gets us. He may have to discipline us, but he brings us back into the fold, back into the flock. What a wonderful shepherd we have. He does not want one of them to perish. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's what we remember this morning, that our Lord and Savior came and gave his life for the sheep, for this little flock. He gave his life for this little flock. What a wonderful Savior we have that he's willing to do that. John 10:27-29 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. With the way things are going today in our country, it's not as far-fetched to see the day where we as believers may be persecuted, like physically, allowed to say certain things, teach certain things that are in Scripture. That's not far-fetched as it once was. I think I told y'all the story when we were in California one time and we were washing clothes, and there were these two guys talking and they were just berating Christians and making fun of them. And I told Lisa, I said, if I had a track, I would go give it to them right now, just acting all big. And then I looked down on the floor and there was a track from Billy Graham. And I thought, oh no. So I told Lisa, I said, after I made that statement and promised God, if I had a track, I would do it. So I picked it up. And even though I didn't want to, I was scared, honestly. I went over and talked with them and gave them the track. And I hate to tell you that day they did not get saved. Okay, I wish that would have happened. That would have been a great story. But basically he told me that I can't wait till the way they believe, this was in San Francisco, I can't wait till how things are here will be in the Bible Belt in North Carolina. And I was thinking, that's never going to happen. That'll never happen. And then it's 5 or 6 years later, and it's come over, and it's just boggles the mind that it's happened. But I've got to remember that to not fear, that I'm one of the little flock, and the shepherd's got me in his hand. He's greater than all. No one is able to snatch me or you, if you're trusting in Christ, out of the Father's hand. And then probably one of the most famous passages, Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For some reason this, and I started singing it last night, and I know Jenna doesn't want me to sing it for you right now, but she said it got into her mind last night. She was singing it a little bit better than I was singing it, at least. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise that is, that even though the things around me don't seem that good, it's not going in the direction that I would hope it would go, still I can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what happens here, I know that I've got a home in heaven, in the kingdom, in God's kingdom, and he will take me through the valleys, the shadow of death. He will be with me through persecutions, whatever may happen, that I know that goodness and mercy is going to follow me because I have Christ living in me. Okay, back to our passage. Do not fear. He doesn't want us to fear. And He takes care of us like a little flock. Something that needs caring for. And we know that we need that. We need His care. For it is your Father's good pleasure. What I thought about this, and I'm probably, my mind's not as good as it used to be. It wasn't that good to start with. So I may have told you this before as well, but what I started thinking of is Father's good pleasure on giving us something. And I thought about my own dad at Christmas time. And he would play all kinds of jokes and stuff on us. Santa Claus tearing up the yard. He's going to shoot Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he really played it up big. And one day at Christmas, I think I was 12, and came down to see what our gifts were. And my brother just had like a whole couch full of toys and stuff. And I looked down and I had a few underwear and some candy just in a line right here. And I was trying to be nice and say, thank y'all, I appreciate it, thank you for that. And my mom, she couldn't stand it. She said, why don't you move that stuff and see what, if you got anything else? Because she could see I was disappointed. And moved the stuff, and it was a brand new shotgun with my initials on it with a gold trigger that I've still got. And even though I was mad at my dad at the time for playing that trick on me, he knew that I liked it. And it gave him pleasure to give me that gift. I could tell that. And that's what I thought about in this verse when I read it. Father's good pleasure, that He's going to have that feeling of good pleasure when He sees us so happy in the kingdom. He's going to have that sense of satisfaction knowing that we really love being there with Him. Sorry about that. All right, Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. I'm thankful that I was blind and couldn't see. I'm glad that He took the scales off my eyes and I could see the truth. I could see the truth of the gospel, that I was a sinner. I needed a Savior. I'm thankful that He removed that blindness from me. And me as a babe, a little one, that I was able to see because He removed the scale from my eyes and helped me see. I'm so thankful for that. And it seemed good in His sight. He was pleased. He's pleased to save us. He wants to save us. He's happy. When He sees us accept His Son, He's happy. Angels are singing. He's happy when we accept His Son as our Savior. Ephesians 1:5-9 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. So here He's happy that He adopted us. Think about Johnny and Della and the adoption of the children that they have, and they have another little girl, and how they are so happy, and the other children they have just take that child in and just love on them. I think about how happy God is when He adopts us into His family, that it's His good pleasure. He's looking forward to doing it. It's not with regret or saying, well, here's another one. He's just so happy. He goes out and finds us and brings us in. Having made known the mystery of His will. according to his good pleasure, he's made known the mystery to us, those that have trusted in Christ. Back to our verse, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The last part is about the kingdom, that he's given us the kingdom. And this one, honestly, I had and then forgot to write it down, and our brother Johnny reminded me, if you will, turn to Mark chapter 9. This was just a great picture of it, and I'm thankful that he shared it this morning at the Lord's Supper. Mark 9, verse 1, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart from themselves, by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. So I think he gave us a picture of the kingdom right here, because in verse 1 it says, some of them standing here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. The very next passage, we see Peter, James, and John seeing him revealed his, he was covered with this earthly body that he had, but then he revealed himself in his glory here at the transfiguration. And as our brother Johnny was saying this morning, thinking about a place that you just love to be. He was saying about the beach and the mountains. I shouldn't bring this up again, or Hawaii. y'all had forgotten about it, and then I bring it back up. But anyway, it's just a place that you love to be, and you think here, as I believe our brother was right, they didn't want to come down off the mountain. They just were so awestruck of seeing their Savior in His full glory, they wanted to be there with Him and just stay there. And I think that's the way it's going to be when we get to that kingdom. Think about the people that lose loved ones, and it's hard on us that are here. But I think if we could see over into the kingdom, into heaven, they wouldn't want to come back. As much as they love us, I believe that they would want to stay there with their Savior. Okay. And then he also mentioned Isaiah chapter 9. Got lost for a second. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. For a second I thought Johnny was preaching my sermon when he was started talking about these verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We'll focus here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There'll be no end to his government. We've been around as a country for over 200 years, well over 200 years, and that's one of the most, I think it's a blessing of God that we've been able to be a country for that long. But we see through history, Persia, the Greeks, the Romans, that's not going to happen, that earthly kingdoms are not going to last forever. But I'm looking forward to that kingdom where the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We're going to be in a country where we don't have to worry about the next election, that Jesus Christ will be the King and God His Father, and they will rule, and there won't be any more elections. They're going to be there forever, and it's going to be perfect peace. So I'm looking forward to that day. A few verses just to put this together. John 18:36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." He's got a kingdom that's not of the world. Okay, there is going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign on the earth, but it's not of the earth. It's not of our system based on what we know it. It's going to be a much different, a lasting, eternal kingdom that He's setting up. His kingdom is not from here. Romans 8:28, "We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." I've told y'all before, this is one of my favorite verses. When Lisa got in that car accident, I always go back to this verse that Steve, our brother Steve, shared with us. All things are going to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called into His purpose. So when your wife gets smashed in by two cars, God can work it for good. When the country doesn't look like it's going the way that we would want it to, God can work it for good, even though we can't see it. I couldn't see it that night when I didn't know if she was going to lose her legs. I couldn't see that how this is going to be good. Okay, thankfully, that didn't happen. And God has used it in our lives, in our relationship, in being hopefully more concerned about other people when they go through things like that. So God can use things that are bad, meant for evil, He can turn it to good. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren." So He was raised from the dead. His Son, that's Jesus the Son, He's the firstborn from the dead and among many brethren. I believe that's us, the ones that have trusted in Him. "Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, those He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things?" This is another promise right here. If God is for us, who can be against us? It seems, honestly, that we're the minority. Everybody's against us as believers. I was reading one place that the only group that you can belittle or make fun of and get away with it are Christians. If you say anything about any other group, then you're going to get raked under the coals. But if it's believers, Christian believers, you get a free pass on that. We're open game. But just remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? If everybody else is against us, we're still a majority because we got God. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered us up for Him all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" So just remember here that His kingdom is not of this world, and that even though things are not going as we would want to here on earth, He's in control. He's going to work it for good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 3 through 5. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." That helps a lot when you have a flock of believers that love each other. "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." We may go through a time, like I was saying, a time of suffering, time of persecution. It's already starting, I think. But that is a showing that we're still here. Is showing that not because of us, what God has done in us, that we're still here, is showing that we're counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which we're suffering. We're still here is a testimony to God working in our lives, that we haven't left. We're still here because of what He's done, not because of us. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The part that I want to focus on here is we're going to be receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, one that lasts forever. It will not be shaken. The United States is a little bit on shaky ground. We are shaken. But we're going to have a kingdom that nobody can shake. James 2:5 says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He promised to those who love Him?" He chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. So us poor people are going to be heirs to the kingdom. I saw a comic strip this past week, and someone was talking this morning about paying taxes. And they had the IRS guy right here and the guy sitting down. The IRS guy was telling them, said, "We hear you're storing up treasures in heaven." And he was trying to get some tax money for that. So we're thankful that we're not going to have to pay taxes in heaven. Jesus has paid it all. And we get to go for free. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Blessed be the God, 1 Peter 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again in living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible." We can be left money and land and houses, but they're going to go away. But we're going to have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and it does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're looking forward to an inheritance that's not going to fade away. As nice as like an earthly inheritance will be, and there's nothing wrong with that, with parents leaving an inheritance to you. That will fade away. Those houses, that money, all of it's going to fade away. When you die, then you leave it. It's going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. But the one we're looking forward to, an inheritance, the things that we're going to get in heaven in the kingdom, incorruptible, undefiled, it's not going to fade away. Revelation 1:6, "And has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He's going to make us kings and priests in the kingdom. If it's not good enough to be there, we're also going to be made kings and priests to serve Him in the kingdom. Revelation 22:1, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This is a picture of the kingdom. God's in charge. The Lamb's there. We're going to have His name written on us. There's no more curse. There's no more sin. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to be like Him. We don't need the sun, S-U-N, because we got the S-O-N, and He's given us the light. So we see here, Luke 12:32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure." He's happy to give us the kingdom. In closing, I pray today that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're looking and you're all tore up about the United States, which way it's going, this is the best it's ever going to get for you. So my prayer today is if anybody has not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today will be the day where you won't have to worry and be anxious about the world. You can look forward to the kingdom that's going to last forever. In closing, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that in spite of our frailties, and sometimes we get caught up with things around us, with the way things are going, and we just confess that worry is sin, and that's a lack of faith. We just pray that you will help us to look forward to that kingdom that's going to last forever, where your Son will rule and reign, and we'll get to be there with him. We'll get to rule and reign with him. We thank you so much to look forward, to take care of this little flock, that we don't have to be afraid, that you care for this little flock here and you care for each one of us individually, and you're happy. You're happy to give us the keys, the entrance into the kingdom to serve with your Son. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.